I've been enjoying studying the book of Deuteronomy with you. We started, hard to believe, we started in Deuteronomy way back in, I believe it was the last Sunday of February. Toward the end of February, we started in the book of Deuteronomy. This week, we've been in chapter 33 and 34. And next week, I am greatly looking forward to this book, the book of Romans. We're going to go through the book of Romans one chapter at a time, with the exception of chapter 1 and chapter number 8. We're splitting it into two sections, but I would like to spend about 6 years in Romans, but that is such a good, practical, and helpful book. But looking forward to starting that next Sunday, Lord willing. But Deuteronomy, we said in the beginning in our theme verse in Deuteronomy, and everywhere you look in the Bible, and it's especially true in the Old Testament, we ought to look for two things. We ought to look for our sin, what God's pointing out, sin to us, and then look to our Savior, especially in the books of the law. That is true, but everywhere we look in the Bible, we ought to look for those two things. Otherwise, it just becomes a history book or a textbook or some kind of book that's something we read in church and then put it away for the rest of the time. But we've said the key verse in Deuteronomy is chapter 18, verse 18. And actually the statement's made twice in chapter 18. One time God is speaking, and that's a unique thing about the books of Moses and Exodus and Deuteronomy. Oftentimes you'll see God saying something and then you'll see Moses saying the same thing. That's an important thing. Deuteronomy 18, God is speaking and he says, I will raise up unto them a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth and shall speak unto them all that I command him. Of course, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how Moses was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was not Christ. The verse that we have up there, we're going to turn to that in a little bit. So the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's interesting, and I never really thought of that till this morning in Sunday school hour. And I'm going to miss Gary the next two Sundays. He's gone, so you're going to put up with me, I guess, for Sunday school. We're going to have a party. Maybe we'll start having donuts in here on Sunday. I had my donut for the year last week. But I thought it was interesting that the book of Deuteronomy ends with Moses. It says, Moses, the servant of the Lord. The book we're going to next week, Romans, starts out with Paul, the servant of the Lord. The highest calling in life is to be a servant of the Lord. You don't have to be the pastor to be the servant of the Lord. You don't have to be a missionary to be a servant of the Lord. If you're a child of God, you ought to be a servant of the Lord. And that is the highest calling in life. Well, we're starting Deuteronomy chapter number 34. And I want to look at something in Deuteronomy chapter number 34. I was going to read the entire chapter. We'll skip the first few verses. Go down to verse number 5. And I'll let you stay seated because we're going to jump to John chapter number 1 in just a moment as well. I'll read both those texts before we get going in the message this morning. Deuteronomy 34, beginning in verse number 5, it says, So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Keep your place here and jump to John chapter number 1. I want you to read these verses with me as well. John chapter number 1, we're talking about the prophet Moses. Moses was the last or the greatest prophet. There has never arose a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. I think if you were to ask me who would be the greatest prophet in the Bible, the Bible mentions two of them for the greatest. One was Moses, one was John the Baptist. never a man born greater of woman than John the Baptist, Jesus said of him. But I want you to see something that God says in John chapter number 1 and verse number 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh, that's Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Son, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the world. And the two greatest prophets, there you have them, John and Moses. And we're going to talk about the prophet Moses for a few moments this morning. Father, we pray your blessing upon the Word of God. Lord, that you would direct our thoughts and clear our minds from all the distractions that the devil would throw at us today. And Lord, there's a lot going on in our world, a lot going on in each of our individual lives. And I pray for these few moments we would focus our attention fully upon you and your Word. And dear Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would move among us this morning. Give me strength to deliver the message that you've given to me this week. And Lord, we pray that you would just guide and direct now. Help us to hear what God says today from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to say you have a seat, but you're already seating. You can stand up the rest of the service, all right? No, we won't have you do that. I get to do that. So let me just say, when we talk about the prophet Moses, I've got you four things, or did I have five? I had to look on the next page, see how many I got. Four things that I want to point out about Moses. I started with about 10, but I narrowed it down to four. So we don't want to be here till tonight. We'll be back tonight, give you a break between. First of all, I want you to understand there will never be another Moses. There will never be another Moses. You think about that, and I know this is a profound thought. There will be never be another you. There will never be anybody just like me. Every one of us is unique. I've been thinking a lot of Psalm 139 this past couple of weeks, seems like a week, since the birth of the new little one that's here for the first time in the service, little Otto. By the way, I love that name, Otto. I have a feeling Grandpa doesn't really care much. It'll grow on him, but... I've been thinking about Psalm 139, how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Every one of us is unique. Our physical body is unique. Our emotions are unique. Never put somebody in a category. You know, that's the big disgrace, the big fallacy of our modern world. We try to lump people into categories. And that really started with what we call modern psychology. We got this type of personality. This type. Everyone's unique. You can't say, well, this is what you've gone through. And there are some similarities, yes. Just like most of us have two hands and two feet, two eyes and two ears. But we're all unique. We cannot live up to other people's expectations, I want to say. You know, Moses struggled with that, and all of us struggle with that. We try to live up to other people's expectations. The best thing we can do is just walk with God. I can't be what others expect me to be. You can't be what others expect you to be. Other people can't be what I expect them to be. I love that chorus. Let's sing the chorus. I think I can sing this morning. Now walk with God, and He will be your dearest friend. Where'er you go, in everything you do, and may your life reflect His love to everyone. Now walk with God, and He will walk with you. You know, all of us just need to learn to walk with God. And you look at Moses, and we need to remember that he was a sinner, just like you and I. He needed a Savior, just like you and I. We think of the two great sins of Moses that are mentioned in the Bible, and one of them was when he smote the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock. It was a great sin because God was using that for an illustration. He smote the rock the first time that they got water out of the rock. That was a picture of Christ's crucifixion. And then the second time he came to the rock, he was supposed to speak to the rock, but because Moses had a bit of an anger problem, he got upset at the people and he smote the rock the second time. And kind of destroying the picture there, God gives us of salvation that Christ died one time. He was smitten. He was bruised for our sin, and he was wounded for our transgressions. And now we just speak to him. We call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We think of Moses murdering the Egyptian after he was 40 years old when he was fled from Egypt and went to the wilderness to hide, because he knew that the Egyptians would avenge him for the murder of the Egyptian when they found out. We think, well, those are the only two sins. Oh, I guarantee you, Moses committed a lot of sins. He was a sinner in need of salvation. And you know, sometimes people think, well, I almost sinned there. Hey, I sin all the time, whether I know it or not. And sometimes we think, well, I'm a good person except for this one thing I did. No, we're born sinners and we sin just because it's our nature. And Moses was a sinner that needed salvation. So he was not a superhuman. He was just like you and me. He had the same sin nature that you and I struggle with. The temptations he faced were not exactly the same as the temptations we face. He still lived in flesh. He still had the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and all those things that we deal with. But he was a sinner. But God used him in a way that no one else could have been used. God put him in a place where only he could fulfill God's will for his life. And by the way, God's done the same thing for you. Don't ever think, well, I wish I would live there. I wish I could do that. I wish I had that ability. That's foolish thinking is what that is. In fact, that's sinful thinking in and of itself. You are the person that God designed you to be. And I know in my early Christian life, I was bitter and didn't realize it towards God because I wasn't born in a Christian home. I didn't grow up hearing the gospel like some of my friends, my newfound friends in the Christian faith, have grown up in a Christian home. And then it dawned on me, God put me in the place where He wants me to be. I didn't choose the family I got to be born into. I don't know about you, but I don't think you did either. God used Moses in a special way, just like He wants to use you in a special way. And then I noticed this. We read in the text that Moses died. Well, of course, he died. Isn't it interesting, as we look at that verse, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law ends with the death of Moses. The law came by Moses, and death came, was pointed out to us through the law. And of course, sin is identified by the law. The two purposes of the law, by the way, and a lot of times we emphasize the first purpose, but the second purpose is takes up a lot more space in Scripture than the first purpose. The first purpose is it points out our sin and what we are. The law was given to define. The book of Romans talks about that. I've been looking in the book of Romans already and anxious to get in there. Points out that the law was given to show us our sin. The law didn't make us a sin. It was just made to identify our sin. But the second and the greatest purpose of the law was to show us our Savior. That's why when God took Moses up on the mountain, he gave the Ten Commandments in one chapter, and then he spent many chapters to give him the directions on how to worship God and the symbols of all those things that are prophecies concerning the Messiah that will come. So the two purposes of the law, to show us our sin and then to show us our Savior. But Moses, after he was used of God to give us the law, the commandments of God, he died. You know, sin or the law always brings death. Jesus came to fulfill all the law, in other words, to die for us as the law described. He would die for us. The wages of my sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus gives life, the law brings death and identifies our death. Jesus, when he was in this world, when he came to the end of his life, he gathered his disciples together. And he gave them that wonderful passage of Scripture in John 14, 15, and 16, and then prayed with them in chapter number 17. And he started out that message, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest." Thomas was speaking for all of us. "We're not really sure here, God. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus gave him those wonderful words to affirm his truth, that "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The life, not the death, the life. "And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus brings life. Moses brought death. Moses died. Yes, Jesus died, but he came up out of the grave. Amen. Moses didn't do that. God buried him. And of course, God will raise us one day like he raised. And Moses did appear a couple other times in Scripture. He will appear again in the end time. And just like we will appear again in the end time. And our loved ones that are saved will appear again. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 talks about the great resurrection. And he says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is what? The law. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory is not in us keeping the law. That brings death. Our victory is in Jesus. He is our hope. He is our life. Jesus said in John chapter number, or Revelation chapter number 1, when the apostle John was banished to the island of Patmos to die on that island. Of course, he survived and gave us the wonderful book of Revelation. In chapter number 1, in the introduction of that book, John saw something. He heard someone behind him and looked in a shining light, and he describes the attire of Jesus. And he saw, and it says in chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as I was dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and is alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell," or hell and death. I think it's the way it goes. I have the keys. By the way, the Pope doesn't have the keys. Peter doesn't have, he's not standing at the pearly gates with the keys. Jesus has the keys. And he is the way of salvation. Moses died, but his life was not in keeping the law that he gave. His life, his hope was in the coming Messiah, the Christ who would come, and we realize he is the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And then thirdly, concerning Moses, the great prophet Moses. There will never be another Moses. He died, and Moses knew the Lord. Moses knew the Lord in a very special way. Look at verse number 34 and verse number 10, or chapter 34 and verse number 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, who knew, whom the Lord knew, face to face. Isn't that amazing? God spoke to Moses like a friend speaks to his friend. In fact, God said that earlier in the life of Moses in Exodus chapter number 33. I was going to go there, but we won't go there for the sake of time. A wonderful chapter where God gave Moses the commandments, and God, they built the tabernacle, and Moses was able to go into the tabernacle, which no one could go in there. And God covered Moses with His glory, with a Shekinah glory, that Moses, he didn't have to work in a nuclear plant to come out glowing in the dark. And Moses had the glory of God, and he glowed with the glory of God. The people saw him, that they hid their eyes from him. And there Moses came out and spoke to the people. And it says in that chapter how God spoke to Moses as a friend speaks to his friend. They conversed with each other. Then Moses comes out of that place and talks to the people. In Exodus chapter number 33, Moses said, "That's not enough. I want to see you in all your glory. I want to know all your glory." And God said, "Moses, I'll talk to you, but you can't see my face." In fact, the text that we have up on the screen, the next verse, verse 18, says, "No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him unto you." And I find in the text in Exodus 33 and also in Deuteronomy chapter number 34 that Moses did not see God face to face, but he spoke to him face to face. There is a difference. Moses conversed with God, had a special relationship with God. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is to have a walk with God, to have a relationship with God, and to pray that prayer, "Lord, I'd like to see you in all your glory." Well, no man can see him until we get to heaven when we have our new body and we're in that new heaven and new earth. But Moses knew the Lord. And I think the greatest thing that can be said of any of us that we know the Lord. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you talked to Him today? Did He speak to you today? God speaks to us through His Word. How we need to hear the voice of God. Now, God doesn't always tell us what we'd like to hear, but He tells what we need to hear. That's a good friend. And then I like this about Moses. One other thing I just want to point out about him. Moses lived and died alone, but he was never alone. That's good, isn't it? He lived and he died alone, but he was never alone. I think of the Apostle Paul. "No man stood with me. I'm here all by myself in the prison cell." But he said, "Nevertheless, the Lord is with me." Everywhere Moses went, he was in the presence of the Lord. You think of his entire life. He was born. Remember his birth back in the beginning of the book of Exodus, how he was put in a bulrushes in a basket made by his mother because Pharaoh had given a decree that every male child that was born of the Hebrews would be killed. And Moses was hidden, put alone in the basket in the Nile River. And Pharaoh's daughter came down and found him. You see, God was there with him. He was never really alone. And then his sister Miriam was back watching in the bushes and had a suggestion. Hey, I know somebody that could nurse that baby and arrange for his own mother to take care of him as a newborn baby. Then growing up in the house of Pharaoh. Oh, how he must have been lonely. Realizing that that's my family. That are the slaves outside. And here I am in the house of Pharaoh. Oh, how he must have felt lonely many times, knowing that he doesn't really belong here. He belongs out there, but God was still with him. He was alone, but he never really was alone. And then, of course, when he murdered the Egyptian, he fled into the wilderness. You know, there's something about serving God, and I learned this a long time ago. It's because God showed it to me in my own personal life, and I did a little study in the Bible, and every great Bible character knew what it was to be alone with God. Some people don't do alone very well. But if we're going to live for God, we're going to have to learn to stand alone. Without somebody to lean on, without somebody to prop us up all the time, just stand all alone. Moses did that for 40 years in the wilderness. God gave him a family. And again, there's a lot that happened in those 40 years. But he's away, out there away from everybody. And then he came to confront Pharaoh. I know that he drug his feet going in there. And sometimes when God calls us to do something, if God's ever called you to do something specific that you know that you can't do, we make up all kinds of excuses, don't we? And we went kicking and scratching and dragging our feet, doing everything we can to get out of this. But he eventually went and he stood before Pharaoh. And even God's people turned against him. Moses, you're making our life miserable. I thought you were coming to deliver us. And then he delivered the people out of Egypt. Oh, what a wonderful thing it was. They sang the song of Moses when the sea was part and they came into the wilderness. And then what did they start doing? Immediately, they started complaining. Moses, you brought us out here to die alone in the desert. Hey, Moses knew what it was to stand alone. I think Moses, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, was probably the loneliest person that ever lived. And there's no position lonelier than being in leadership position. And then at the time of his death, there he was. No family gathered around him, but the Lord was with him. And that's all he really needed. And by the way, that's all we really need is the Lord. And the Lord buried him alone. But he wasn't really alone. When you're walking with God, you are never alone. No, never alone. No, I don't know how that song goes. I don't think I could sing it right. I don't think my voice would let me sing it if I did. We are never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Moses lived and died. Though he was in charge of anywhere to 6 to 10 million people, yet there was never a lonelier man than Moses. It seems like most of the time those people were against him. His own family turned against him. Yet he was never alone because the Lord was with him. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is to walk with Jesus. There'll never be another Moses. God's created each of us unique, put us in a situation that we're in. God was in control of all that, and God is still in control of all things. There's never been another Moses, never will be. Moses died because the law brings death, and Jesus brings life. Moses knew the Lord, and oh, what a wonderful thing it is to walk with Him, to fellowship with Him. And though we're alone, we're never alone when we're with Him. I'm going to ask you to stand to your